Today, it's all about raw living and vegan dishes with Chef Athena from Supernatural Kitchen, based in Gourmet Lafayette at Dubai Mall. Hello and welcome, Chef Athena.
Hello, thank you very much for having me here today.
It's good to see you. The last time I saw you, we were in tropical climes with beautiful jungle, lush sort of greenery and rain and beautiful food, vegan food in Bali.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And now we're back here and it's becoming more humid by the day.
Yes, we're already acclimatised for it. So I did go with you and Riyad Hamid to Bali, to Ubud in Bali, yeah. With Supernatural Kitchen, your kitchen, your cafe and restaurant that you run. Tell me first off why you wanted to go to Ubud in particular.
Okay, so previously I spent quite a lot of time in Indonesia travelling around, and I found Ubud particularly to be just a vegan haven, raw food heaven. So many fantastic variety of dishes and chefs over there. And just before I took this job, I had been back in Bali for yoga and to taste more raw food. And I suggested to Riyadh that we should go back together and introduce him to some other raw vegan cuisine, just to see what else is out there. So that's why I wanted to go back.
Now, you've got a great menu at Supernatural Kitchen already.
Thank you.
And you bring a lot of experience to us here in the UAE. So it is pure vegan food. So people that truly want to follow that lifestyle, there are more options here in the UAE for people to not just eat at home, but go out and eat and also get food delivered as well. First off, what is veganism then? How do we define this? This isn't vegetarianism. It's much more than that.
Yeah, so veganism is a lifestyle. I want to try and describe it without deterring people. So for some people, plant-based would be a diet. Veganism comes with the animal rights aspect of it as well. Vegans don't consume any animal products or byproducts. So it's no meat, no fish, no dairy, no eggs, no honey. We also don't wear or buy leather, silk, wool. We don't go to things like the zoo. We don't consider animals as entertainment.
Yeah. So there's a real culture there, isn't there? It's
really exactly.
Deep-rooted in your value system and beliefs and ethical living, and what you consider to be ethical living. And
yeah.
And so from your point of view, it's that connection to animals and preserving them and respecting them. That's your opinion. Other people also follow this for health reasons as well, because,
yes,
of course, the idea of plant-based foods and a more natural way of eating clean, I think we're calling it these days.
yeah exactly. And health wise it's been phenomenal for me personally. Lots of people go to veganism for health, which is fantastic introduction to it, but I think, as I mentioned to you before, that it's easy for people to cheat on their own health, because you can have cheat days here and there. You can sneak something in that isn't that good for you because it's just yourself. So when you have the ethical side of veganism behind the positive health aspect, it allows you to stay vegan for life.
Okay, so when did you become vegan?
Around 5 years ago now.
Okay. You were a fruitarian as well, weren't you?
Yeah, so I actually overnight stopped drinking, stopped smoking, and went fruitarian vegan. I stayed fruitarian for 8 months. I then introduced myself into vegan pizza and vegan donuts and all sorts of vegan replacement foods. But during the time of being fruitarian, I completely reversed all illness that I had in my own body. And then even coming off a fruitarian raw diet, going back to a Whole Foods plant-based vegan diet, nothing came back. I still kept my optimal health.
Can you tell us what your health issues were?
Yes, so my whole life I wore glasses. I used to have double vision and dry eye syndrome, which they said was hereditary because my mother had dry eye syndrome. I also had endometriosis, which had been operated on 3 times, and I'd had it for 9 years. It would cause debilitating pain, and it completely went away and it never came back. And I've never worn glasses. After 3 months of being vegan, fruitarian particularly, I threw away my glasses and I've never worn them again. And yeah, endometriosis is completely gone.
Well, she is the queen of veganism, Chef Athena. She's here to take your questions following that lifestyle. Or just, you know, like me, you know, I'm a meat eater, but I really enjoy some of that plant-based dishes and, you know, enjoyed a lot of what you introduced me to in Bali and back here at Supernatural Kitchen. So, you know, mixing it up, putting variety in your diet. And people that have got issues with intolerances, dairy, lactose, glucose, sugar, also celiacs, for celiacs, this is a really good way for them forward. It means they can actually enjoy some really delicious food without feeling they're going to compromise their health. We are going to be hearing later on from Chef Athena and I in Ubud in Bali when we attended a class with Raw Food Bali with Matthias. We were making that day a number of things, weren't we? We did onion bread, we did
blueberry cheesecake.
The blueberry cheesecake is what you're going to hear about at midday. We also did the pad thai but different, so we'll be sharing some info on that as well. Also the Tuscan herb and veggie spaghetti, that was very yummy, very delicious indeed. But it was all raw food. So when how do we define raw food? We're not cooking this food, are we?
No, so there's a difference between veganism and raw veganism. They're both just dietary preferences, whether you prefer to be raw. At the restaurant, we are 100% raw and 100% vegan, so it makes it extremely easy for anyone with any sorts of intolerances or dietary requirements. Raw food is the most easily digestible food you can put in your body. It's as close to its natural state as possible. It's minimally processed, meaning it needs to be minimally seasoned almost, because you're getting those fresh tastes and textures from the raw plant-based source itself.
It's a true science to our food and nutrition, and that's what I really learned and appreciated with you in Ubud was, you know, and with Matthias talking about enzymes and our gut health and how, you know, you really go into detail of what foods you're putting together, those plant-based foods, seeds, nuts, vegetables, some fruits, but understanding the nutrients of them, the value of them for our body and system. So you'll be finding out more about that over the course of the show. But it's time now for our first clue.
Guess the ingredient.
Yeah, here's your first clue to our mystery ingredient competition to go into the draw to win a 500 dirham voucher to spend at Supernatural Kitchen with Chef Athena at Gourmet Lafayette Dubai Mall. She's also got a raw class coming up, raw desserts coming up on the 20th of May. That's on a Saturday at 10:30 in the morning. So you can learn how to make your own delicious raw vegan desserts too. So it could be part of the prize if you chose to spend your voucher that way. But here's your first clue. Today's mystery ingredient has been used in cultures and countries across the world because of its nutritional and therapeutic value. The tree that provides the fruit for today's mystery ingredient is referred to as the Kalpavriksha, the all-giving tree in India. Chef Athena Matteo, who is the chef and the lady making it all happen when it comes to vegan cooking and eating at Supernatural Kitchen in Gourmet Lafayette Dubai Mall. Chef Athena, are there many vegans in Dubai?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes,
you,
there are.
You have, I was going to say a support group. I don't mean a support group at all, but you have a meetup, don't you?
Yeah, through meetup.com, there's Dubai Veg, and it's a huge community of people who are interested in veganism and vegans, people who are already vegan, where we meet up, we have potlucks, we meet at different restaurants, we run events and classes, screenings of different films educating people about veganism. It was like a savior when I first came here to meet a like-minded community of people.
So the training that you did, what did you do to become that qualified vegan chef?
So before I was vegan, I did 3 years at Westminster College in London to training as a professional chef. Nothing to do with veganism. I wasn't vegan at all. I had no interest in it. I really didn't have much knowledge about it. So I did my professional training there, mainly focusing in French cuisine, and then in the last year specializing in patisserie and confectionery. And it wasn't until about 2 years later that I went into veganism, and then I just translated everything I knew from the flavor profiles and seasonings into vegan cooking.
Because that's what you have to do to keep it interesting, to keep it, you know, to make you feel that, you know, you're getting satisfaction from your food. And there's a lot to do with that, not just taste, but texture, the look of the food, you know, what you're associating. So like, you know, if you've got a lasagna on your menu at Supernatural Kitchen, that is a vegan lasagna. So yes, you're matching and trying to get the same sort of experience without using the meat and the other different products. You know, it's all plant-based. So that's the idea, isn't it? So it's a lot of work. It's a lot of commitment.
Exactly. And I think, you know, veganism and vegan food can get a bad rep. People think of vegan and they think salad, boring, uninteresting, what do you eat, rabbit food, you know, all these negative connotations that come with veganism. But at the restaurant, I want to show people that we are recreating your favorite dishes, not only vegan, which is one step towards optimal health, but raw vegan. So when we're talking about things like lasagna or the portobello burger, it's juicy, it's delicious, it's whole mushrooms, you've got cheese sauce in there and homemade pickles, and it's everything that you'd want from a burger, but plant-based and raw. So it's going to be easily digestible for you, and you've got like a nutritional powerhouse. It's not just going through the motions of eating. It's actually doing your body good.
In Ubud, one of the reasons for going there to Bali was to get a certain ingredient that you use in your cheesecakes and desserts. What was that ingredient?
Irish moss, which is a seaweed, a carrageenan, and I have not found it anywhere over here, and it's now is not secret ingredient for vegan desserts, because unfortunately with lots of vegan desserts in general, especially raw, when you use coconut oil, you can get that unpleasant taste at the back of the throat, which I've had lots of customers complain about when they've had vegan cakes elsewhere. And the other option you get is a frozen cheesecake, which isn't a cheesecake at all. And especially if you're transitioning from an omnivorous diet, you want things that are as similar as what you're used to. So using the Irish moss, it's a gelling agent. It doesn't need to be heated like agar-agar does. So you keep all the nutrition by not heating it. And it sets things in a gelatin-like way.
Chef Athena and I got up very early one morning, about 5 o'clock, I think, 5:30.
Too early.
Very early, and headed down into the markets in Ubud to find the Irish moss. It was quite an experience, really, because this market was living, breathing, vibrant. All the locals were there. They got a festival happening that week, so it was particularly busy that morning. And amazing characters and sights and smells. And then we had to go right deep into the back of this market to finally find the Irish moss, and there it was. You were very excited.
I've been to that market before, and the first time it was just me walking around shouting "Bulung, Bulung," in trying to do an Indonesian accent, which is Irish moss in Indonesian. And so I had more of an idea of where it would be this time. We found it at the very back of the market, and luckily we found it there, because
got arms and arms of it to bring
exactly
back to Dubai.
as much as we could, which was 15 kilos. So
amazing. It was quite an experience there. That's the dedication that Chef Athena goes to get it right in her kitchen. So you can see the pictures online. They're up on the special features page at dubaii1038.com/dubai today. You can see all of our experiences in Ubud when it comes to the superfoods of Bali. Now there are many vegans here in the UAE. People are asking, where do you meet up? We'll share more information on that. And Danny, our very own newsreader here on the ARN News team, he's a vegan. He's been a vegan for about a year. So our producer Aisha caught up with him earlier to hear about his lifestyle and how it's going.
So Danny, you're a vegan, have been for about a year. And we will start with asking you, what guilty pleasures do you have as a vegan?
Guilty pleasures would be things like desserts, maybe little treats, you know, things like dark chocolate, which we like to have, even like chocolate cereals that we'll have as well, which will obviously be, you know, without any milk inside them. And when we go out and about, as you know, any time we get a takeaway, for example, where we know they're not being cut as healthily as our meals are, you know, a lot of restaurants will use a lot of oil, which we don't tend to use. So they'll be our kind of guilty treats.
Sounds delicious. Is there anything as a vegan that you cannot live without?
Dates. I'm absolutely obsessed with dates, especially here as well. The region we're in, to get the dates fresh, local dates are just absolutely incredible. It's my go-to snack every single day. Dates and nuts, a nice mix of nuts with some dates is just remarkable. I like to use them for a lot of different things as well. My wife will make these date brownies, which are just remarkable. I like to make a drink called Daterade, which is 250 milliliters of water, about 250 milliliters of coconut water, about a dozen dates, depending on how big they are, blend it together with a teaspoon of cinnamon, and you've got yourself a milkshake, and it's just remarkable. I'll have brought it in a lot of time for our colleagues here. I'll have to bring it in for you guys as well. I'll do that next week to try it out, and I've yet to have anyone who says, no, that's not really for me. And quite a few people have actually said to me they've started making it themselves at home.
Looking forward to that, Danny. Do you have any dates that you particularly like from this region?
Sakari dates are my favourite. I think medjool dates are wonderful as well. Obviously, they're nice and juicy, but Sakari dates are my go-to dates. I just love the sweetness of them, especially when you get the ones which are hard at the top and then soft at the bottom for that nice kind of, you know, contrasting feel to them. They're my go-to ones.
And in terms of going to things, do you have a signature dish you always go to when you have friends around?
My signature dish would be a vegan chili that I make. I say my vegan chili, it's not like it's my recipe that I've come up with. It's a recipe that I've come across elsewhere, but kind of made a few little slight adaptations to it, and always proves to be very popular. My wife's go-to dish will be a sweet potato curry, which is just my favourite meal. It is so nice. I've not had it as much as I'd like to of recent times because she's heavily pregnant at the moment, so I've been doing all the cooking and cleaning as I should be doing, but I'm looking forward to having that again once the baby finally arrives. And it's another one which proves to be very popular whenever we have guests around, whether they be vegans, vegetarians or meat eaters. It's always it always goes down well.
Yeah,
that sounds fantastic.
I always find it funny, actually, and with you guys as well in Ubud, is that you talk a lot about desserts and sweets, so that's obviously a big issue, not issue, but it's a big part of what you're seeking, is that healthy option.
Yes, certainly, and it's doable and it's not difficult once you know what goes in there, once you know your replacement ingredients, then you're away. I mean, if you think about a basic cake, it usually only has a handful of ingredients, so we're just using a handful of different ingredients.
Your banoffee pie you've got on the menu,
that's my favourite.
Supernatural Kitchen, I tried it last time I was there, so talk us through some of the ingredients in that then.
So it's raw and it's gluten-free and sugar-free. So for the base, we're using oats and cashew nuts and date syrup. And then we've got this, I don't want to, you know, big myself up, but it's a phenomenal caramel that's inside, and it's made with cashew nuts and cacao butter, date syrup, a little bit of stevia for the extra sweetness, fresh vanilla pods. It's just like this chewy, fudgy caramel, really reminiscent of a banoffee pie, but better. And then fresh bananas, which you just have to make sure they're spotty and ripe to get the optimal sweetness, make sure they digest easily. And then there's a coconut cream, but it's not made with coconut oil, it's made with the fresh young coconut meat that we get over here, and Irish moss to set it nicely, and a little bit of date syrup for sweetness. It's my favourite dessert on the menu.
Do stay tuned for the dessert, the class that we had with Raw Food Barley when it comes to blueberry cheesecake, raw for everybody. Everyone could try this. That's coming up in a little while. Chef, what have you brought in today?
So today we have a cheese board with raw dehydrated crackers and raw bread. And then we also have smoked salmon, a variation of a vegan smoked salmon with chive cream cheese and sweet onion bread.
We're going to be putting that all together, assembling it for you. Follow us online, of course, and we'll be having a little taste on those and seeing if they match up to what we're used to when we're eating those kinds of foods.
Guess the ingredient.
So it's time for your second clue to our mystery ingredient to go into the draw to win a 500 dirham voucher to spend at Supernatural Kitchen in Gourmet Lafayette, Dubai Mall. Today's mystery ingredient has become a popular alternative to vegetable oil and butter for cooking. It is solid at room temperature and melts at 76 degrees Fahrenheit and is used a lot in vegan cuisine. Chef Athena is here from Supernatural Kitchen and talking about vegan food, the dishes, what's on the menu, recipe ideas. She's bought some cheese in, raw vegan cheese. What does that mean, you might ask? We'll be finding out in just a moment. And interesting here, Chef Athena, somebody's texting earlier for the mystery ingredient and said moringa. And it's not moringa. That is not our mystery ingredient. But I came across for the first time ever in Bali, moringa.
Yeah, so moringa is a nutritional powerhouse. It's a leaf. It can be dried and blitzed into a powder, which is really nice to add to a smoothie. I've also seen some really fantastic recipes where you steam it and put it in savoury dishes. You can put it in coconut curries. It's quite a versatile leaf and doesn't have that. It's like a nice green powder to add to your smoothies and juices, but it doesn't have that almost sometimes offensive smell and taste like chlorella or spirulina can have, because spirulina and chlorella is it's a blue algae. It's like a pond weed, and yes, it smells like pond, so you want it in small amounts. But moringa, it's got a really lovely taste. You can sprinkle it on top of cakes, as I said, smoothies, savoury dishes. It's a lovely ingredient.
And I got to see the tree, actually, when we went to the restaurant Moxa. They've got moringa there and cacao. First time ever I can see cacao trees in their flesh, literally, for real.
Exactly.
You know, wonderful, amazing, very inspirational place, Bali, particularly if you are into that natural way of life, you know, vegetarian, vegan, into yoga. We went to the yoga barn.
Yeah.
In fact, one of our party, travelling party, who came and met us there, Michael, he's still there.
He has not come back.
He's not. I was like, yesterday, you're still there.
I know. I saw a picture he posted online yesterday of him just sort of standing in the middle of two stunning waterfalls. I was like, oh, Michael's still there. So, yeah.
And he said, come back, Suzanne, and we'll go and do another shaman breathing meditation, which is one of the things that we did whilst we were in Hubert.
Which I'm sure is hard to say no to that offer.
If only I could, Michael, but there you go. It is time to share some news with you today. Food news. So yes, Chef Athena has been looking at the news stories that have caught her eye, as have I. So I'm going to start with mine, if you don't mind.
Of course.
This one, it's a local story. It's in Gulf News. It's all over Facebook. I don't know if this is a true story. I'm assuming it is. But a collection, this is on May the 17th, a collection of 35 Dubai restaurants and lounges will accept a cucumber as form of payment in exchange for a selected mixed beverage. Well, I think it's true. There's a whole list of bars and lounges that are very well-known ones from very well-known hotels here in Dubai. So you don't have to pay with money. You literally have to hand over a cucumber to your server, and it is however limited to one cucumber per person. And it'd be nice to go local, so get some nice local cucumbers if you can. And the list is here of all the places. It is to exchange the cucumber for a selected mixed beverage. I wonder which mixed beverage that would be using a cucumber. Let me know if you've got an idea. 4001. But there you go. Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah, as long as it's not a spoof and there are a bunch of possibly women walking around with cucumbers in their purses before their night out, handing them over to very bewildered looking bar staff, then yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
A good night out, it seems. Excellent. And cucumber, great. What, you're a fan of cucumber?
Yeah, I do. We put it almost daily in our free detox water we offer on the counter. We usually put lemon, cucumber, ginger, lemongrass in the water. I like to blitz it in with a banana smoothie with water in the morning. It's so hydrating. I love cucumber. One of my chefs jokes with me that I'll turn into a cucumber because I really do eat relentless amounts of it.
Relentless amounts of cucumbers and bananas, I believe. And you're even sporting the word bananas on your t-shirt today.
Yeah, bananas are healing foods as far as I'm concerned. They're phenomenal. They are so good for you. I really, really like to try and show and tell people the difference when they come into the restaurant, when they say, can I just have one banana in the smoothie rather than two or three. I want people to understand the difference between white refined sugar and fructose. It's healing. It's the best thing we can put into our bodies. Our bodies run on glucose. The things that we put into our body that are most easily accessible and turn into glucose are things that are going to digest easily and give us most optimal energy. Bananas are perfect for that, but I want to remind everyone they are not ripe if they do not have brown spots. This is coming from someone who used to eat bananas almost green because the thoughts of a brown one used to make me feel sick. I couldn't stand them. Your taste buds do change. Only eat brown spotty bananas.
Now, your story. What story have you selected for us today?
So I found a story that was on CNN. I love when the mainstream media talk about veganism. Because often you find it in a negative light, but it's just more and more stories are coming forward where they're talking about veganism for what it actually is, for a positive movement. This story is talking about how animal agriculture is affecting climate change. Animal agriculture is the number one culprit of greenhouse gases. Meat, dairy and egg industry causes more greenhouse gas emissions than trains, planes, automobiles combined. So where,
and that's in this article, is it?
Yeah, exactly. So it's in that article. They're talking about how your personal choices, how we need to take personal responsibility for the health of the planet. Now, if you go to the mall and you have a cheeseburger, you might not think, how is me having a cheeseburger going to affect the planet? But it takes 660 gallons of fresh water to produce that burger. So animal products are very, very intensive in what is needed to produce them, from the land that you need to cut down. I mean, the Amazon is being cut down to produce land to grow crops to feed the animals, and then the water it takes to feed those animals, the water that is used to water the crops to feed those animals. It's a very, very large vicious cycle of water intensive farming for animal products. And that is what this article goes into. And I just think it's great that it's on CNN, it's on a mainstream media, so that anyone who might not go searching for this information, it's actually right there for them to find.
And it is about educating ourselves, and then you can make your own choices, but informed choices, isn't it? Very interesting indeed. Well, somebody's texting here to say, I went vegan 2 years ago to treat my rheumatoid arthritis. Within 3 months, I was completely off my immune suppressant medication and all my pain symptoms were gone. I haven't looked back. After watching Earthlings and Forks over Knives, I've really started to look into what I buy and when it comes to clothing, etc. And of course, you know, for many vegans like yourself, where it is absolutely your connection with the planet and with animal products, it goes further than what you're eating. It's into what you're wearing, total lifestyle that you're following.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, these numbers are almost unfathomable to us. But if you think about it, not including aquatic animals and marine life, we are killing 56 billion animals per year for human consumption. We grow enough grain to feed every single hungry person on the planet, but we feed that grain to the animals that we use for food. So Earthlings is a phenomenal documentary. I recommend it to everyone. Forks Over Knives helps people hugely to go vegan. So as the whoever texts in just there said, that once you go for health reasons, but then you can start to look into the ethical side. Like my father, I sent him a book, Reversing Diabetes with a Plant-Based Diet by Dr. Neil Barnard. He reversed his diabetes of 15 years. He used to inject 3 times a day. Within 6 months, he was cured. His doctors asked him, how did he do it? And then he stayed vegan because he looked into the ethical side. So it's easy to stay vegan once you have an overriding power behind you for other reasons to stay vegan that's not just health.
So your thoughts on that, 4001. And let's start with your bread and cheese that you've bought in. We are dying to try this. So explain what you've got there and how you've put it together.
Okay, so here we have cultured nut-based vegan cheeses made with cashew nuts. We use vegan probiotics to culture the cheese in the traditional way you would culture a dairy-based cheese, and it's left out for over 48 hours to get that nice tangy cheese flavour. And we've got ricotta, made from almonds actually, and then we've got chili and paprika, air-dried cheese, a truffle cheese, a smoked sea salt cheese, and a parmesan, and then some fig jam on the side because everyone likes something sweet with cheese, and then raw bread. So you might think, why raw bread when you can get gluten-free bread or just normal bread? But this raw bread, it's packed with everything that you need, and there's nothing in it that you don't need. When will you go and look on a packet of bread and find things you need and nothing that you don't on the back of it? You just won't. It's just full of rubbish. And all this bread is almonds, a little bit of seasoning, Irish moss, and psyllium husks are a great, great source of fiber. That's it. That's all it is.
And I know when we were in Ubud, one of the other reasons for going there was because there's the restaurants in Ubud and the classes you can take, but you wanted to work more on your breads, didn't you, and selections of breads. So is this something that you've brought back, or is it you already had this in your menu?
Oh, no, definitely. With the raw bread, I was actually finding it quite difficult to perfect that texture, and I've just gone raw bread testing crazy at the restaurant, and I've come up with this recipe that I'm really happy with. It is usually nicer when it comes fresh from the dehydrator because it's crispy and warm. Obviously, we're in the studio today, so it's going to have a slightly different texture. But I'm really happy with the result that I'm producing at the restaurant. And wrap-wise is something that I wanted to find out more about in Bali, how to produce those raw vegan wraps made from just pure vegetables, basically. But you can use it like you would use a normal flour tortilla kind of wrap. And I'm just loving the results I'm getting with all these different ingredients for wraps. So that's on the menu now, and it's really exciting.
Now, we are on Facebook Live as we speak, so you can watch and listen at the same time and see for yourself the food that Chef Athena's brought in, the raw bread. Again, I suppose to understand how you're making that and calling it bread. So we're going to explore that when we taste it. People are texting in questions. We'll answer those as well. But let me squeeze in another clue.
Guess the ingredient.
Yeah, to our mystery ingredient competition today. Clue number three to go into the draw to win a 500 dirham voucher to spend at Supernatural Kitchen at Gourmet Lafayette in Dubai Mall. And there is also included in that, if you want, but for everybody else to know about, on the 20th of May, that's Saturday, 10:30 in the morning, there will be the Raw Desserts class by Chef Athena for you to learn more about putting those dishes together for yourself. So here's your third clue. The hydrogenated version of today's mystery ingredient is used by cinema theatre chains to pop popcorn, which adds a considerable amount of saturated fat and calories to the snack food. However, the naturally processed version of today's mystery ingredient has special fats that won't raise your cholesterol levels or contribute to heart disease.
Guess the ingredient.
It's your fourth clue to our mystery ingredient to go into the draw to win a 500 dirham voucher to spend at Supernatural Kitchen, Gourmet Lafayette, Dubai Mall, the vegan restaurant there. Today's mystery ingredient can be used to make a dairy-free ice cream that has a pleasant flavour, an excellent appearance, texture and aroma. Chef Athena is here from Supernatural Kitchen and she's just been serving from her cheese board. Absolutely stunning to look at. All raw, great for vegans. Yeah, there is no dairy in this product. Now, we brought our producer in, Joe McKibben. We're chief taster today, Joe.
Off the subs bench and loving every minute.
particularly because when I was in Bali and I called into the show, I did say to Joe, and we're going and we're eating, I had raw bread today. And she went, yeah. Oh my God, that sounds horrible. So here we go. We've brought you some raw bread, Joe. So how is it?
Look, my mind is playing tricks with me and my taste buds because it looks like a Weetabix and I'm kind of like, And it is absolutely amazing. The cheese, I'm looking at it and it's my mind saying, well, it looks stunning. And then you taste it and it tastes exactly like cheese.
Yeah.
It's got an amazing, strong texture, absolutely beautiful. And I just, I need you to tell me again what goes into this. So the paprika one, what's it actually made of? Because it tastes like cheese.
Cashew nuts. And vegan probiotic, which will give it that tangy taste. And then it's allowing it to sit for over 48 hours to develop those flavours. And then we've got some miso, some nutritional yeast, paprika, chilli. That's it. That's literally it.
And how long does it take you to make that?
That's an air-dried one, so it'll take up to a week. Because once it's moulded, then we leave it out to allow it to form the crust on the outside. But from the cream cheese and the soft cheese, take 3 days, and the ricotta takes 10 minutes. It's so easy.
What I love is with the breads and crackers, you've got some sort of, I think a lot of it's about texture as well,
exactly.
Isn't it? So you're giving some variety there. So as Joe has a little bit more of a munch, I just want to go to the text messages because people are asking questions.
Yeah.
One person's asking if you've got a vegan book. People would love that.
No, I don't, but I definitely will. It's in the pipeline. Riaf knows. We've discussed it. We are going to do a vegan cookbook for sure.
And you can certainly follow you on Facebook with Supernatural Kitchen.
We do video recipes on the Instagram page and on the Facebook. We're working really hard at the moment to get as many done as possible. And so, yeah, we'll have recipes coming out soon.
Excellent. And Moringa, so a lot of people texting saying you can get it here in the UAE. The trees are here in people's gardens.
Yeah, so that's, I've seen those.
Lovely to know. We mentioned before, you were saying about your experience with your father and type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. Someone else is asking, again, to clarify, what's the relationship between vegan and type 2 diabetes?
Yeah, okay, so diabetes and heart disease are both diseases that are man-made. They're man-made diseases from what you put in your own body. Doctors will tell you it's incurable. Doctors will tell you that has to be managed and that you have to manage it with insulin or pills or injectable insulin, but it's simply not true. There's a fantastic book called Reversing Diabetes. We sell it at the shop. You can get it online. You can get it on your Kindle. And it talks about the relationship of food and diabetes and how it can be reversed. Forks Over Knives, a documentary. Watch Forks Over Knives. It explains it fantastically and tells you what to eat and what not to eat. But yeah, if you have diabetes, and I know it is rampant in the UAE, it's the percentages of people with diabetes over here is off the charts. You have to get back to plant-based healing foods to heal this.
So that's according to Chef Athena. She's not a qualified doctor,
No. But
is clearly doing a lot of research into this area. And food is medicine as well, which is a big part of the culture when you're talking about vegan food. Joe, what's next?
So, Athena, tell me what I'm eating here. No, so tell me first what you've called it.
So
playing
it's,
tricks again.
It's chive cream cheese on a sweet onion bread with smoked salmon. But the smoked salmon is made from papaya. It's then marinated and dehydrated with wakame and dulse flakes to give it that fishy taste. And then smoked to give it the smoky part.
Absolutely delicious.
It's really good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really. And the thing is, when you think about vegan food, and as a mum of three who cooks and cooks and cooks, it's quite daunting. It's quite terrifying to think, gosh, how could you keep original, keep the flavours, keep the taste? Yeah. Clearly, I'm just going to come to you and get them. But again, the mindset, you kind of say, I wouldn't make my own cheddar cheese, so why on earth would I make my own vegan cheese? I would just come and buy it.
Yeah, I understand that. And we do and we do make and sell cheese.
So to order?
Yeah, to order.
And you deliver?
Yeah, for sure, we deliver, yeah.
Excellent. Well, we were talking to Danny Norton in the newsroom, our newsreader, and he's a vegan. He's been a vegan for a year. And we said to him, look, Chef Athena's coming in. He's busy putting the news together upstairs. What's the question you want to ask Chef Athena? So here you go.
Well, for Athena, I'd like to get her any tips on baking vegan snacks and baking vegan desserts at home. It's something we don't really do as much. I mean, I mentioned before about my wife making the brownies, and she makes a few other little bits and pieces here and there, but it's certainly something we want to do more of. We've just moved into a new place which has an oven, which we've not had in our previous two places, so we want to make the most of that if we can do. So just there, any tips on coming up with a sweet treat?
So there's a raw blueberry cheesecake that will be up on the second hour today. So keep your ears open for that. We have one last question. What do you think are the biggest misconceptions about veganism out there?
I think the biggest misconception surrounds health. A lot of people will automatically think, well, you're going to be nutrient deficient, whereas the opposite is actually the case. You know, I think the vast weight of peer-reviewed scientific evidence shows that a whole food plant-based diet is the optimal one for human beings. You know, I think you're going to be healthier when you have more fruits and vegetables and nuts and grains and legumes and less animal products. I think the science supports that. I think as well, when it comes to things like taste, you know, a lot of people will kind of look, turn the nose up a little bit of vegan food. But at the end of the day, you know, if you give it a go, you'll find it's actually incredible. Give it a go for 21 days as well, because your taste buds will need to get used to maybe the lower amount of salt and oils that you have in your diet. But once you get past that, it's remarkable, because at the end of the day, you can still use the same herbs. You can still use the same spices that you're currently putting on your pieces of meat. Put it on your vegan meals instead as well to get that taste there, and it's wonderful. You won't regret it.
Thank you very much, Dan.
That's according to Danny Norton. He's been a vegan for a year, so yeah, he's asking about desserts, as so many of you do. Do stay tuned for the second hour. You can hear from Matthias of Raw Food Bali, where Chef Athena and I attended his class. When I arrived, I said, how long is this going to be, so I can just get an idea of what I'm going to be recording. He says it's going to be 5 hours. But we didn't just do blueberry cheesecake. There were many things that we did, and it was a really, really wonderful afternoon. So you can hear about the blueberry cheesecake later. But you've also got your raw dessert class coming up. So what will you be doing then?
Yes, we're going to be covering cheesecakes. We're going to do a really delicious fudge. We'll do mousses. We'll do bars, all raw. But I just want to answer to Danny's question. His was about vegan baking, so not raw, just vegan baking in general. I will give you my secret, which is not, it's known online throughout the vegan community, but in case you don't know, chickpea water. Get a tin of chickpeas. I know we all use them, especially over here, for hummus. Take a tin of chickpeas, drain them, keep the water, whip the water up. It whips up like an egg. It whips up like an egg white. You can make meringues with it. You can put it in your baking. It makes things light and fluffy. It's the best egg replacer I've ever used. Chickpea water.
You heard it here. Fascinating. Chef Athena, thank you very much for your time today. You'll have to come back, because I feel like we've just skimmed the surface of vegan cuisine. Big thank you to producer Joe. You're enjoying that, munching on your cheese board?
Yes, I'm halfway through.
Lovely. And so stay with us, more to come. And of course, we have been filming. Check out online our Facebook page and on DubaiEye1038.com, the blog post, and of course on the special feature page on the Dubai Today page, you'll see more pictures of Chef Athena and I and the foods and some of the restaurants we went to. Amazing choices and cuisine. So thank you very much, Athena.
Thank you so much.
And stay with me.